Clifton's Radio Surrey News Review for Friday the 10th of March. A look at the week's local news in Surrey. I'm Graham Laycock, and at the Surrey Advertiser News Desk is editor Oliver Florence to discuss this week's local news stories. And a look at the headlines today. A very loving and kind dad dies after 10K run collapse. There's power to decide over Dunsfold Park, and nearly 4,000 Surrey streets are spared from a blackout. All these stories and more as I'm joined by Oliver. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Graham. How are you today?
Very well, and you?
Yes, very well, thank you.
All right. Well, we had the very first Weybridge 10K last Sunday, but unfortunately it didn't end all well, did it?
No, as you say, it was the first Weybridge 10K, the inaugural event, held last weekend. And yeah, a very sad story to come out of it. Obviously, there are lots of runners going round the course, and unfortunately a man collapsed at the finish line. He was taken to hospital and sadly died in hospital. Later transpired it was 37-year-old, father of one, Ceslaw Dudek, who lived in Feltham. So we've done quite a lot of stories since Sunday on our website and tried to round them up in the paper this week. We've spoken to a few of his neighbours who are obviously very shocked about what's happened and had some kind words about him. And we've also spoken to his wife, Sylvia, about the loss and the impact it's had on their family. So, yeah, very sad event. As with a lot of these things, I think we've had a couple of deaths during Ride London over the past few years. You often hear about a death at the London Marathon, but it's really shocking when it happens.
Absolutely, and something so local and more Surrey-based as well. But as you say, I think it was 1,000 runners in this event.
Yes. I suppose it's really taken the edge off the first event. It was organised by Weybridge Sports, the sports shop based in the High Street. So they obviously have expressed their sympathy to the family. But often in these cases, fundraising pages are set up in memory of the person. And I think this one's already raised more than £12,000 to try and help his family.
Well, that is really incredible support, isn't it? Indeed, and obviously all our thoughts go out to the family and friends. And yes, we were covering the event live down there on Sunday as well. And unfortunately, it wasn't blessed with very good weather, I remember as well. But that problem dims compared with what's happened there. Now, moving on to power to decide over Dunsfold Park. This has been an ongoing controversy, hasn't it?
It has been, yeah. This leads our editions covering Waverley, so our Cranley and Godalming editions down in the south of the county. Just to give a background to the story for those that don't know, as we know, many areas in Surrey are looking for space to build new homes. And in December last year, Waverley Borough Council gave approval for 1,800 new homes on the Dunsfold Aerodrome site, which is probably best known for being the location of the Top Gear, a very popular programme, obviously. As in common with a lot of areas where they try and build houses, there was quite a lot of opposition about the scale of the development, the traffic that it would bring to the area, and just the general impact on the infrastructure down there. So this week, the local government department actually called in the application, which means the Secretary of State will have the ultimate say on whether it will go ahead, and there'll be a public inquiry to rehearse all the arguments again. No date's yet been set for that, but we expect it sometime this year.
All right, I'm sure we'll be following that on in due course. Now, a mum's plea for news of Victor.
Yeah, we reported this story last week. It's nearly 2 weeks on now since the student, University of Surrey student Victor Ivanello, went missing. He was a 21-year-old student. He was last seen leaving a house in Esher. His belongings were then discovered on a bridle way in the Chessington area. So we've had several follow-up stories this week. We've looked at how his mother's been posting on social media. She's still very confident that he will be found. And we've also spoken with Victor's sister, Maria, about the impact on the family and how they pray every day for his safe return. We have a lot of media appeals for missing people. I think I said last week it's very rare for them to go on this long. Normally, luckily, the people are normally found within 24 hours or so very concerning response.
Absolutely, yes. Let's just hope we get some news very soon. Now, nearly 4,000 Surrey streets have been spared from blackout. This is the idea, I presume, to turn the lights off overnight.
Yes, as you say, the idea to turn the lights off. Lights have already gone out across a lot of the county. Most of the boroughs now, I think, have experienced the turn off of the street lights. It's done by Surrey County Council to cost. To save money, a cost-saving measure. So we've got a couple of stories in the paper this week. We've discovered that the police objections led to hundreds of streets across the county not actually having their streetlights turned off. The police had obviously real concerns about safety and that crime would go up. And we also report how Runnymede Council, which is one of the areas that hasn't had the blackouts, hasn't experienced the blackout yet, they are calling for a delay in the final phase of streetlight turn-off. They say it affects CCTV, so obviously, again, implications that might be an increase in crime. So there's clearly still quite a lot of disaffection across the county. It's one of the things that people on our Get Surrey website like talking about. A lot of people still don't really understand why. For what is quite a small saving, I think it's around £200,000 a year that the council would save from this measure. A lot of people are still quite upset that the lights have gone off.
Yes, I hadn't heard a thought about the angle of the closed-circuit television not being able to see anything.
Yeah, I think Runnymede have identified about 20 roads that would create a problem with CCTV if there was a lot of street lights. So I think it's quite a big issue in Runnymede. I think Royal Holloway University have also expressed a few concerns about student safety round and about in Egham. Walking home late at night.
Yes, and of course,
there's no lighting.
Of course, Surrey's always invested heavily in more energy efficient lights. I think all the street lights have been changed, and they do dim after about 1 a.m. anyway.
Yeah, that's true. We've had a chat to Ian Lake, a former councillor actually, who was in charge of street lights in 2012 when the county introduced new smart bulbs, which, as you say, can dim at certain times of night. So he's saying there is a way of being responsive to what people want, and individual streetlights can be adjusted according to the needs of the area.
Right, so it can be, you know, quite a sophisticated solution in the end. Okay. Now, a boutique cinema is included in Weybridge Hall proposals.
Yeah, this is going to be discussed next week by Elmbridge Borough Council. The possibility of possibly turning Weybridge Hall, just across the road from you actually, isn't it, Graham?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, there. The possibility of turning it into a boutique cinema, as the headline suggests. there's been a lot of talk about halls, been going on for quite a few years now actually, whether they're viable round and about, particularly in Elmbridge. I know we've done a few stories about them. And the council's clearly decided that it's not particularly viable as a community facility. And they see this as a way of possibly bringing regeneration to that part of the town.
All right, well, we'll just have to wait and see. We do have a hall here in the library building as well that gets hired, as well as the Weybridge Hall across the road. So maybe they feel that there's one hall too many.
Yeah, possibly. I think there are still groups that use the hall, but as you say, they might think there's one too many. And maybe a cinema would be a better option, so people wouldn't have to travel to, I think, probably Wolfson's the nearest one, isn't it?
It is, yes. That is true, yeah. But nonetheless, a bit of controversy, I'm sure, over losing a community space.
Yeah, certainly. We spoke to a few users, actually. We've got a few quotes from people who use the hall for things like dance classes, that sort of thing. So we've included those in our article. We've also tried to work out what sort of cinema. It's obviously quite a small building, so it wouldn't be one of the big chains, possibly like Everyman in Walton or something like the Picture House.
Yes, indeed, yeah. And finally, we're turning to sport and cricket, and Peterson's back. Going to give Surrey a boost.
Yeah, the news broke this week after 2 years out of the English game, actually. He last played in 2015, I think, that Kevin Peterson, who's often been quite a controversial figure, he divides opinion in cricket. Very talented batsman, kind of fell out with the England team and hasn't played internationally for a long while now. But he's going to return to Surrey this coming summer, only a few months ago now. He'll play in the T20 Blast and the 2020 competition. So that should provoke a lot of interest, and hopefully for Surrey it will sell a few more tickets at the Oval. And as I say, not long now till the season, less than a month until the actual start of the cricket season.
So indeed, yeah.
Something to look forward to.
In fact, I was in Guildford on Tuesday going past the Surrey ground. I see there's a lot of work going on there in the clubhouse and so on at the moment.
Yeah, they've invested quite heavily. They're trying to renovate the clubhouse, the pavilion there. I don't think it's going to be quite ready for the start of the season, but it should be ready soon. And Guildford is kind of Surrey's second base, so they're trying to boost facilities there to kind of have an alternative venue when they don't play at the Oval.
Indeed, I was told, I think there's a period of about a month they can't use the Oval later in the summer, so they're hoping this is going to be finished in time for that period.
Yeah, there's the ICC Champions Trophy that was using the Oval for international matches, so Surrey will hopefully be able to play at Guildford a bit more.
Right, OK, fingers crossed then. Let's hope we get a blast out of Surrey. OK, and Peterson, thank you very much indeed, Oliver, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. This has been Brooklands Radio News Review with Graham Laycock and from the Surrey Advertiser, Oliver Florence. And you can hear the Surrey News Review every Friday at 1pm and 7pm on Brooklands Radio. It's compiled by the Surrey Advertiser and you can keep up to date at getsurrey.co.uk.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with the Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.